Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we have been praying through the words of that song. You are all I want, all I've ever needed. Help me know you are near. Lord, sometimes we miss that still small voice. Sometimes we miss the gentle nudging. Help us know that you are near. Help us know that you are right here, right now. Help us know that you have a word for us. Help us to be sensitive to who you are right now and what you're doing in this place. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you have a Bible, you can open to Isaiah 6. If you have a phone, you can open to Isaiah 6. So many options these days. I'll just open a dead tree if you don't mind. Isaiah 6, well-known passage. You see that the heading there in the NIV is Isaiah's commission. And it starts like this: in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they were covered their faces, with two wings they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe is me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with tongs. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And he said, "Here I am, send me." Well, tonight we're looking we're doing the series on the Christian atheist. And the question is tonight, I know God, or I believe in God. I just preferred the emphasis on no, but don't fear him, don't fear him. And I figured to myself, well, that's an interesting question. Should we fear God? I mean, God is our Father. What we know in Scripture about him is that he's gentleness and he's loving and he's kind. Why, if I feared him, would I want to come to him for salvation? Why would I trust him with my eternal future? Fear him? What's going on here? Well, let me explain to you what the Bible means by that little phrase, fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. It's what we call a tied word. Now, I've spoken to you about this before, so I'm just refreshing your memories. It's what we call a tied word. And so to understand the word, we don't look up the individual words in that phrase and then get all the meanings of the individual words and then mix them together to understand what the fear of the Lord means. No, you look at the word as a whole, at the phrase as a whole, and accept it as being one word, a tied word. Fear of the Lord. It refers to behavior that's appropriate to living in God's presence. It's quite interesting that the Old Testament written in Hebrew is a very practical book. Hebrew is a practical language. It doesn't like abstract words, abstract concepts. So it doesn't have the word religion as we use the word religion, because that's too abstract. What is religion? So it brings it down to something concrete, and the word for religion is kind of replaced by the word fear of the Lord, the tied word fear of the Lord, because that refers to behavior, something concrete, something you can measure, something you can see, behavior appropriate to living in God's presence. to living with peace and with joy. That's appropriate to living in God's presence because God promises peace and joy. Living with an intimate relationship with God as Father, that's appropriate because God is our Father. But also living with a sense of awe, because that is appropriate, because our God is also a consuming fire. And here's the important thing. All those are appropriate ways to live with God, from intimacy to awe, because all those are part and included in the meaning of that word, that tired word, fear of the Lord. It covers all of that, the whole spectrum of that. Now, I want you to think of an ideal relationship with an ideal Father. You see, we have to think of an ideal relationship with an ideal Father because not all of us have had a good relationship with our fathers. And so I want you to just imagine a relationship with a Father as it ought to be, as it is ideal. Now, in that ideal relationship, there are times when we have with our Father what we would call a joking relationship, where we can tease him, where we can joke with him, where we may even say things to him when in a different context would actually be disrespectful. But in this ideal relationship with an ideal Father, there are times when we can be like that with our Father. But there are times in our relationship, even with this ideal Father, when we become really formal. Yes, sir, we may say, right away, sir, we may say. And there might even be times when we have done stuff which we ought not have done, when we are downright scared to come into his presence. And that is also an appropriate way to behave in the presence of our ideal Father. The fear of the Lord, it's not a word that's referring to cringing in fear. It can include that, but it covers this whole spectrum of behavior. I want you to get that picture. The fear of the Lord covers that whole spectrum of behavior. It's the way to live appropriately in the presence of God. Now, a Christian atheist. Last week we saw that it was actually illogical to put those two words together because a Christian, by definition, is one who believes there is a God, whereas an atheist, by definition, is one who doesn't believe that there's a God. And so it doesn't really make sense to put those two together. And yet we accept the phrase because we understand that the phrase Christian atheist has become a technical term. A Christian atheist is one whose way of life does not match what they say they believe. A Christian atheist is the technical term for one whose way of life does not match what they believe. They say that they believe in God, but their life doesn't suggest that they believe in God. Now, tonight particularly, we are looking at a Christian atheist, one who says, I know God, but I don't fear him. I know God, but I don't fear him. And I'm going to suggest that that too is an illogical statement. It's illogical to say, I know God, or I believe in God, but I don't fear him. And I want to show you tonight how it's impossible to know God, I mean to really know him and not to fear him, not to live in the fear of the Lord. In other words, it's impossible for someone who really understands who God is, who knows him, not to live in an appropriate way in the presence of God. It's impossible. Isaiah was a prophet, and a prophet is somebody who's really close to God. It's somebody whom God uses as a mouthpiece. God gives a prophet the word, and the word is spoken through the mouth of the prophet on God's behalf. And so we would expect Isaiah to know God, right? Well, he did. But maybe he didn't really know God as well as he thought he did. Let me explain. He lived in hectic times. When Isaiah prophesied, it was pretty hectic in Israel. The people were going astray. Wealth was all the people cared about. God was becoming less and less important to the people, and they were starting to justify the bad things that they were doing, saying, well, God doesn't really care. This is how they were becoming in Israel. Yet, materially, they were living in really good times. They'd had a king, Uzziah. He'd been on the throne for 50 years. And they'd gotten used to the stability. They'd gotten used to the prosperity. And then in the year that King Uzziah died, suddenly all that which was taken for granted was shaken. Their confidence in the stability and how it's always been was shaken. But in that year, God gave the prophet Isaiah a vision of himself. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted. In the year when everything became turmoil and shambolic and people were losing confidence and worrying about the future, in that year God opened Isaiah's eyes and Isaiah saw God is still on his throne. And above him, seraphs, each with six wings. Two wings that covered their face, two wings that covered their feet. With two wings, they were flying. And these seraphs, these fiery ones, these holy ones, they were not silent. There was this great bank of seraph on the one side and a bank of seraph on the other side. And in great antiphonal calling, one calling out, the other responding, they were calling to one another, holy. The response, holy. The response, holy, is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. Picture the scene. God on his throne. The fiery holy ones calling, proclaiming, God is holy and the earth is full of his glory. That word holy, it means to be set apart. It means to make distinct. It means to put a distance from. Holy. God in his holiness, in his distinctiveness, in his set apartness. God is incomparable. Can't compare him with anybody. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One. That's what it means to be holy. You cannot compare him with anyone. God in his holiness, distinctiveness, set apartness. God is unapproachable. Who is able to stand in the presence of this holy God? Who is able to stand in his presence? God in his holiness, in his distinctiveness, in his set apartness, God is totally other, totally different. For this is what the High and Exalted One says, he who lives forever, whose name is holy, I live in the high and holy place, totally other, totally apart, totally different. God is holy, incomparable, unapproachable, totally other. But God is not just holy. God is holy, holy, holy. In the Hebrew language, to repeat something three times is to make the most intense statement possible. And so when we read that God is holy, 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 we are reading that God is incomparable, unapproachable, totally other, infinitely extrapolated. God is holy. Holy, holy, holy. The whole earth is full of his glory. That phrase simply means that God's holiness reveals itself in glory. And the best that we can do, inadequate as it is to look at what God has created, to see his glory. What has God created? He's created towering mountains. What has created? He's created thundering seas. What has he created? He's created exquisitely beautiful flowers. He's created the royal lion. He's created the amazing human body. He's created the infiniteness of the galaxy. If you want to have a tiny glimpse of the glory of the holy, holy, holy God, look around you. Look around you, because the fullness of the whole earth is God's glory. And God gives Isaiah the awesome privilege of having his opened his eyes to see, and in a flash, having seen something of the glory of God, in a flash, Isaiah was literally struck by the contrast. He thought he knew something of God, but suddenly, having seen the glory of God, he saw himself, he saw God's people, indeed, he saw all humankind, he saw us against the backdrop of the holiness of the holy, holy, holy God. He saw our behavior against the backdrop of the holiness of the otherness of God. Isaiah was literally struck by the contrast, and immediately he wants the ground to open and swallow him. Woe to me, he cries. I am ruined. For I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. I know God, but I don't fear him. No, you don't. No, you don't. You don't know God. You cannot know God, because if you did, you would fear him. If you did, you would live in the fear of the Lord. In other words, your behavior would be appropriate to who God is. Isaiah, he was a prophet. He'd been working with God. God had been using him. If anyone knew God, it must surely have been Isaiah. But when God gave Isaiah a fresh vision of who he is, Isaiah fell to the ground as though dead. And so if we say we know God but don't fear him, you know why? It's because our theology of God is inadequate. If we say we know God, but don't fear him, it's because our theology of God is inadequate. The moment Isaiah was given an insight into who God is, he cried out, woe is me, I am ruined. I'm a man of unclean lips. He saw himself as he was in relation to who God is. The Bible has an interesting phrase. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. That is how those who claim to know God, but don't fear him, that is how they live. They have a form of godliness. They know the talk. They know the actions. They know how to get away with passing as a Christian. But there's no evidence of the power of God in their lives. They do not live appropriately before a holy God. They do not live in the fear of the Lord. This is what they lack. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness. Can you believe it? With all that they're doing, they can still get by people thinking that they are Christians, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. If we really knew God, we would not live like that. having a form of godliness, but denying its power, because living in the fear of the Lord means living appropriately with fear, yes, because to know God is to know that He's holy, holy, holy. But living in the fear of the Lord also means living appropriately with gratitude, with love, and with intimacy. It's all part of it. Remember when I, and I guess those who are older than me, grew up, we grew up with a strong sense of authority. I mean, those who were older than us had authority over us. And in schools, they still took out the old cane and they caned you when you were naughty. And anybody older than us, we called Mr. So-and-so or Mrs. So-and-so. And if we were really intimate with them, it would be Uncle So-and-so or Aunt So-and-so. As I say, we grew up, those who are older, with a sense of authority. And so I guess us older people are less likely to say, I know God, but I don't fear Him. Our challenge, who are older, is actually more likely to accept the kindness of God the Father. We have less trouble accepting His authority. So that's our challenge. But younger people have grown up differently. I'm not saying it's better. I'm not saying it's worse. I'm just saying grown up differently. There has been a much less emphasis on authority. Young people are much less likely to call older people Mr. and Mrs. My landlord, when the little kids are introduced to me, oh, this is John and Liz. I mean, that's how it is. And I don't mind. In fact, I think it's good. I think it's good. But here's the thing. God hasn't changed. He has remained as committed to intimacy as He always was, with which us older folks struggle. But God remains holy, 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 with which younger folks struggle. And so it may be that younger people are more likely to say, I know God, but I don't fear Him, simply because your background is different. But there's a solution. What is the solution? It's a very simple one. Get to know God better. And then whether you're old or whether you're young, you will live in the fear of the Lord. Appropriate. Your behavior will be appropriate to who God is. Personal devotions, Bible study, good preaching, living out what you hear. You see, the best way to get to know somebody is by experience. And when we are obedient to what we learn about God, we get to experience Him. And that's the commitment I'm asking for tonight, that we will get to know God better so that we can all live appropriately before Him, living in the fear of the Lord. Shall we pray together? Heavenly Father, this is a challenge. Whether we're old or whether we're young, we have the challenge to live appropriately in Your presence. And Lord, as we discuss the things now, I just pray that You would help us to see the issues. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.